Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We love to shout for God in Africa. It's just a cultural way of praising God. And I'm sure even in heaven there will be a lot of noises. So we better begin practicing now. Let me hear you. Praise the Lord. Amen. My name is Peter Midodo. Rachel is my wife. We've been married for 28 years. But we still look very young. We thank God for Pastor Jeff and Pastor Jody, the pastoral staff of this church, the entire leadership. We have received more love than we expect from you every time we come here. I first got connected to PCF in 1993, just after I graduated from Elim Bible Institute. And from 1993 up to now, is it 93? 2003. Yeah, it was 2003. 2003 up to now is 19 years. So it's been a relationship we have treasured with a lot of integrity, respect for each other, and commitment to the vision that the Lord called us to accomplish. I came here when I was still a young boy. I think I was 35 or 33. Not anymore. Amen. The first team that was sent from this church to come and check what God is doing with me in Kenya, Africa, came, I think, in 2007, thereabout. And when the team came, one of the team members who was a teenager, Sue Simons by then, today she has a different name at the end, had just graduated from high school. She was a teenager, but today she was telling us in the morning here that she's a mother of a teenager. So it's been a long time. Amen. I'm so blessed to be here, friends, and God is good. Before I share the word of God, that will be very brief, I would want to give a brief update of what we do there. Rachel and I, for those who are seeing me, meeting us for the first time, began a children's ministry from our house. That was way back in 1998. And we have kept the vision today. It's a little grown, but we are still growing. So I want to give you a brief update of where we are with that. We pastor a church, which we pioneered, founded, and we are still the senior pastors of the church in a small village called Ndhiwa. It's a small church of around 500 members. And we serve with the PEFA Church, Kenya, which is an affiliate organization of Elim Fellowship. And I serve the PEFA Church as one of the national leaders. So it's been a walk of faith, but we thank God for everything. Let me give you a brief update of our children's ministry, the Joy Schools International. A few, you put the pictures on. Yeah, that is the current school from preschool to eighth grade. It's a boarding school. We have kids staying there full time. If you see the building next to the blue, the red roof is at the extreme end. The red roof is the boys' dormitory. We have about four of them coming this way, which is not captured in the picture. But the blue roof was the first building that we raised on that compound. And it was funded, a team of missionaries that came, the first team that came from PCF, helped us build the walls. I remember in that team, Joyce was there. Floyd was there, and many other people that I will not count their names. Susan was there, and both ladies and gentlemen worked with their hands to build that first building. And it became the first classroom, and Rachel was the teacher. So we began from there. So you guys, your Pioneer Christian Fellowship, you pioneered something in Africa, and see, it has grown. So every year we have expanded. And up to now, we are at eighth grade. We didn't have enough land to expand to high school. And so I've been sending our eighth grade graduates to other schools. We have four schools that we are connected with. Some are close by, some are not. So we send those kids to those schools for high school education. If you show me the second picture, please, kindly. So you see the building, this is the backyard, and the playing field, that is the elementary school. But at the back, you see the foundations. That is where we want to build the Joy High School. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we are trusting God that as soon as the funds are available, we will begin raising the walls for the Joy High School. For the last 8 years, I've been sending kids to other schools. And unfortunately, we realize that we need to keep all the kids together. Because the Joy School is a parenting institution. When we bring these kids as young as, when they are still at the age of preschool age, these orphans, we not only give them education, but we teach them the Word of God, we mentor them, and we become their parents. A number of times when school is closed, they remain with us at our house. So since we began sending the eighth graders to different schools, and remember that is the age when most of them become teenagers, and with the changes and transition, and they don't have parents, some of them fall into characters that we would have helped if they stayed with us. And a sad thing happened on Sunday last week. If you'd show me the third picture. That girl died on Sunday last week. Her name is Dorothy. She's 16 years old, and she just finished, I think, 11th grade in another school. We brought her to our school when she was a third grader. So we raised her as our child among the over 300 children that we care for. But when we sent her to another school, you know, as a kid, she doesn't have a father with a single mother, and so she got into other characters. She became pregnant. And while she was going to have a baby at age 16, she died. And even the baby also died. So Rachel and I lost Dorothy and her baby. And that is one of the things that really broke our hearts. And I know the will of God has happened, so we have to accept. But I'm thinking if she stayed with us, maybe we would have offered parental care. And who knows, she could have not entered into what she did. So that is why we desperately appeal for support to begin the high school. I don't want to see my current eighth graders go to those other schools. How I pray that by next year, February, when our school year for high school begins, that my current eighth graders, there are, how many are they? 42. There are 42 students that they will stay at the Joy School. So we keep on watching them and taking care of them. Dorothy will be buried next week. We really would have wanted to go. I was supposed to go and do the funeral, but unfortunately we will be here. So please pray with us that we may build that school. I really feel we need to do it. And the final picture, kindly. I think that's the last one. Yeah. So friends, there may be people among you who may want to sponsor an orphaned child at our school. If you go to our website, hopeforkenya.org, you will see we have posted pictures of children who need sponsorship only at $40 a month. That would give the child full board education, food, and tuition, and they live at the school. If someone may be interested as a family, you want to sponsor a child, you just go to that website, and you will get the pictures of the children. I would encourage if you would pick from kids from the Joy Schools, because those are the ones that are at our school. Otherwise, may God bless you. The work of God has been going on well in Kenya. We are up to the task, preaching Christ, and we are not stopping anytime soon. We thank God. Amen. Amen. I would want us to share the word of God briefly from the book of Acts of Apostles. chapter 26, chapter 16, I'm sorry, chapter 16, our theme verse is verse number 22. No, verse number 26. Acts of Apostles, chapter number 16, from verse 19, going downwards, but my message is coming from verse number 26. Amen. I hope my English doesn't bother you. I don't speak English. I speak Kenglish. That is Kenyan English. Hallelujah. Yeah, so sometimes, you know, it's okay if you miss a few words. I also miss a lot when you guys speak. So but by the way, are you getting what I'm saying? Ah, thank you. You have encouraged me. Amen. Acts of Apostles, chapter number 16. I'm reading from verse 19 downwards. NIV, the Bible says, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, thank you, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrate. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating for customs unlawful to us as Romans to accept and practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet into the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, verse 26, if you would keep a finger there for me, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Interestingly, verse number 27, the jailer woke up, and when they saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. And the rest is history. Wow. On 19th of last month, something happened that shocked me. That was on the 19th day of April 2022. Rachel and I, we bought a water truck. A water bowser. You don't have that here in the US because you have water everywhere. Even in the market centers, on your streets, you can open a tap and drink. That is not the thing in Africa. So Rachel and I, we bought a water bowser. It is a 10-ton truck that we are using for community service. We collect clean water from the well that was sponsored by PCF. And we give it to the community when they have events to help reduce the spread of diseases like cholera by people drinking dirty water. And we also use that truck for business. Some people or some companies hire us, and we supply their water, and they pay us some money. So for the last 3 months, a company hired us five kilometers away from home, and they were using our truck. So when the contract was over, I drove my little car. I went with a friend who was driving my little car to go and collect back our truck. So we went, and at that time, Rachel was attending a women prayer conference that went on for 2 days. So Rachel is at the conference. I've gone 5 hours away to collect our water truck. And my truck driver and I were sitting, we were driving together. So I was sitting at the passenger seat, and the truck driver was driving. And my friend who accompanied me was driving my little car. And when we reached a point, it was around 6 in the evening, a young woman who was drunk, she was sitting on a motorcycle, a small scooter. I don't know if they were going somewhere with a boyfriend or whatever. It seemed like that was it. And they were drunk. So she dropped her phone and she just jumped out of the motorbike and went back to collect the, to grab the phone, and we were driving. My truck driver tried all he could to avoid the accident, but it was not possible. So he hit the girl on the left side of the headlamp. And this is a 10-ton truck. The impact was so great that it broke the headlamp into pieces. And the young woman fell flat on the highway, and she was dead, unfortunately. And that was happening when Rachel and I were talking on phone. So I shouted when she was just about to be hit. I shouted, "Jesus!" And I dropped my phone. Rachel was like, "What's happening here?" So the crowd gathered around very fast, as it would happen in the place of an accident like that. So I jumped out of the vehicle. My truck driver was shaking, and we knew we were going to have a hard time. And so I came out, people came, and I started to ask God, "Jesus, Lord, what do I do?" I even forgot to pray. God, Lord Jesus, what do I do? Lord, what do I do? I don't want these cases. I don't want to enter into all these crazy things, Lord. The police and the courts. Lord God, help me. What do I do? And then the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, "Pray." And I heard that pray. I was desperate of it. And I went over the body of the young woman. I knelt down over her. You know, a crowd, I think, of about 30, 40 people. The crowd was building up. And that was scaring. I didn't know what they were going to do to us. They would have burnt my truck or beat us also. So I knelt over the body of that woman, and I began to pray. I held her, and I was praying. I say, "God, Lord." It was a desperate prayer. You know, you are praying and you are crying. I'm trying to imagine what is going to happen. She was lying there still and breathless. And I began to pray. And as I began to pray, I felt the power of God. I was praying over her, and I began to shake her, and began to call back her spirit back to the body. I began to demand, I said, I command that let your spirit come back to this body. You are not dying, God. I'm not getting into murder cases. Lord, help me out of this. And then people were waiting. Some were struggling to call the police, and our police getting them is difficult because we don't have 911 number. But then I could hear talks, chatters in the crowd. They say, they didn't even know that I was the owner of the truck. They say, somebody has died here, but the pastor is still praying for her. So let the pastor finish praying. They didn't know that I'm the one whose truck has caused an accident. They just thought I'm a pastor praying for a dead person that a vehicle has hit. Then as I was praying and crying, I saw a movement. And then I saw her raise a little hand. I said, "God." I went on praying. Then I told the people, "She's not dead. Help me take her to the hospital." So four men came, and we grabbed her, and we put her into my small car. The other brother that we had, so I had to stretch the passenger seat to lie flat. We don't have ambulances that you would call a number and come. So there, when things happen, you have to do what you have to do. So I stretch the passenger seat on my small car, And she lies flat there, and I tie her with a seatbelt. And I tell my friend who was driving my car that let's go to the next police station or the next hospital. So the people showed us where the next hospital was, maybe like 5 kilometers away. So me and my driver, I wanted to sit with the truck driver because he had panicked so much. So I needed to sit with him. And we needed to get out of the accident scene as soon as possible because it was not safe for us. So we are with him and my driver, and the motorbike guy who was carrying the girl was riding in front of us, taking us to the next police station. Then we go to the hospital. But after we had driven for like 2 kilometers, the guy who was driving my small car stopped and indicated an hazard. In my mind, I was like, maybe she's now really dead. So I come out, and the man is coming back to me and saying, Pastor, she has resurrected.
Hallelujah.
I jump out of the truck and ran to my small car, and the young woman was sitting down. She was seated. And I began to talk to her, and she's telling me her name. And God did a miracle. So we were there. It was now getting dark. I'm asking her that we need to take you to the hospital so that you can be checked well. And the young woman told me that, no, I don't need to go to the hospital. I think I'm okay. Let me go home. And the motorbike guy says that, please, Pastor, God has answered your prayers. We don't want to get into police cases. She is well. Let us go home. And I asked the woman, I asked that lady, can you walk? And she walks like from here to where the instruments are and comes back. And she sits on the motorbike and holds the guy. And all the money I had in my pocket, beloved, miracles still happen. I took all the money I had in my pocket and I say, take them. If you need to go to the hospital, if you need to go home, whatever you need to do, take the money and go. The Bible says that only a fool say that there is no God. Only a fool. There was no way that I could describe what happened. It was purely a miracle from heaven. Purely a miracle from God. What am I talking about? The power of desperate prayer. That's the title of my brief sharing for those who love taking notes. The power of a desperate prayer. I've discovered in my life that sometimes we reach a point when we need to pray to God desperately. A desperate person is a person who hit a point in your life where you realize your strength can do nothing. Your efforts can do nothing. Your wealth can do nothing. Your poverty can do nothing, cannot help anything. Your relatives or social class, I hear people have social classes, I don't have any, cannot help. Hallelujah. But you remain and you say, if God do not come for me, it is finished. And those are the times when, as believers, we should not get comfortable with our lives to an extent that we never feel desperate for God. It is not easy. You know, like, in Africa, I would say it is a little easier to pray desperately because the needs are so much. But when you live in a country where, like, there are structures, there are systems, and things are working out, sometimes it might be difficult. I'm just trying to imagine. It might be difficult to pray to God desperately. But, beloved, I tell you, there are times when we need to make those desperate prayers. Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our big brother, made a desperate prayer on Mount Olives. And he cried to his God the Father, and he said, Lord, my Father and my Father, I beg you, if this cup can bypass me, let it be. But let me not force, let your will be done. And he was so desperate that when he began to sweat, the sweat was blood. There is a time in our lives as human beings, as believers, when we just need to make a desperate prayer for our God. Listen, beloved, our world today needs a desperate prayer. It is. I can hear the sounds of warfare. Russia is fighting Ukraine. And the effect is affecting us so badly in Africa. For the last 2 months, we did not have gasoline. It's when I knew that the fuel that we use in our vehicles there or to run our industries come from Russia. There was no gasoline. As we speak now, the price of gas in my town is $8 a gallon. But 2020, 2021, we had the China virus. Oh, I'm sorry. In Africa, ladies like to do their makeups and paint their lips, and there's a really African thing. But for the last 2 years, I think those selling lipsticks in Africa lost their businesses because everybody was covered in the mouth like this. The world almost shut down. Actually, not almost. Came to a total lockdown. It means we are desperately living in a time when we need to make a desperate prayer. I was reading, I don't know if it's a true thing. I saw it on the news. I was reading through the internet. And Bill Gates is one of the richest guys in the world, the Microsoft man. I think I read something. I'm not sure if that was true. If it is not true, then ignore it. But I read something that he was saying that the next pandemic will cost, there's another pandemic that will cost, I don't know how many billion dollars. So there is another pandemic coming. And there are prophets who already know another one is coming. We are living at times when you cannot tell what will happen tomorrow. But our security is in Jesus Christ. Amen. I look at the story that we have read from Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas went out on their second missionary journey. And that was shortly, if you read the preceding verses or chapters, they went out. Paul had just had a disagreement with Barnabas, and he picked Silas as a companion during this missionary journey. And as they go, Paul was sensitive to the Spirit of God, and he sees a vision of a man calling him to come into Macedonia. And Paul goes there. Paul really wants to go there, and he meets this girl who was possessed by evil spirits and was being used by her masters for business. And every time Paul and Silas were passing, this girl would use the evil spirits to prophesy and tell the people, preach to the people and say, these men are true men of God. They have come to bring you the message of salvation. You need to believe their message. The message was correct, but coming from a wrong mouthpiece. So Paul got sick of it, and Paul says, I think I'm tired of the devil reminding me of what I'm already doing. And Paul turns and casts out that demon. And the owners of the business, knowing that they were going to run at a loss, mobilized the crowds and they incited the people against Paul and Silas. The Bible says they beat them. They did not just flog them. They did not just cane them with whips. They beat them with a log, with rods. And they were bleeding. They were hurting. And they took them into the jail with strict instructions telling the jailer to watch after them carefully. The jailer put them into the inner cell and locked them and chained them to stocks. But at midnight, two people began to pray and sing. Two people, bleeding blood, in pain, they began to pray and sing. And some things happen. Why I say there is power when we make desperate prayers. Hallelujah. There is power when we come to ourselves and just make a desperate prayer to God. Paul and Silas began to pray and sing. And something began to happen. Listen to what the Bible says again in verse number 26. Let me read that again. Suddenly, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. There were three types of people here. Those who are wounded and desperate of God's help, the activity they were doing was praying and singing. The second category of people were the other prisoners. They were listening. And the third category of people was the jailer. He was sleeping. I want us to look at it from that perspective. Two desperate men praying and singing. Other prisoners who did not know what to do, maybe they were not, I'm sure they were not born again, they did not know Christ, they were not believers. They were listening. They refused to sleep. But when the praises and the prayers were going into heaven, they chose to listen. But the jailer who had the authority and had done what he thought was permanent in the life of these people was asleep. But listen to what a desperate prayer can do. Three things. The power of making desperate prayer to God. Three things that when we choose to pray to God desperately will happen to our personal lives, to our families, to our businesses, to our communities, and even to our world. Number one, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison was shaken. The number one thing that happens, friends, when we make desperate prayers to God, number one, the foundations of the prisons will be shaken. You know, the devil likes putting God's people into prisons. And a prison is a place of confinement. Your freedom is denied from you. And he comes there with wounds, and he comes there to frustrate you. How I pray and how I charge that may the church learn to make desperate prayers to God that would set the foundations of any prison that the devil will put God's people to be shaken. May the Lord of heaven shake every foundation of any prison that the devil had planted in your life, in the life of your children. May those foundations be shaken. We will pray until our world recognizes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yeah. Number two. At once, all the prison doors flew open. The second thing that happened, all the prison doors flew open. Desperate prayers opens doors. Desperate prayers opens doors. And let me define now what a door. This is from Peter Middleton Dictionary. Don't search it on Google. You will not find it. I want to define a door as an opening in the middle of a wall. A door is an exit or an entrance in the middle of a barrier. All doors exist between walls, and they serve different purposes. Walls create a boundary for us and confine us. Doors give us access to go out or to come in. It doesn't matter what barriers the devil has put in your life. When we make desperate prayers, doors will open. May the Lord open doors of opportunities that you never imagined. Hallelujah. Number two. All doors of the prison were opened. And not some doors. The Bible says all doors. Meaning, there were different kind of prisoners who are going to be charged with different cases. But when desperate prayers are made, everybody's case had a way to exit. Number three. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Everyone's. I need to be in a prison where praying and praising men are also there. Because when they pray and when they praise, everyone's chains flew open. And having realized, listen, beloved, the foundation of the jail was shaken. And I think it developed cracks. So there was no more jail. The chains, all the chains were broken. They needed a welder to repair the chains if they had to continue chaining people. You hear what is happening? All the door locks were destroyed. They needed to go to Lowe's or the hardware store to buy new locks. So there was no more prison. Hallelujah. That is why all the prisoners were staying there. Paul and Silas did not have even to go. There was no more prison. The building had cracks on the foundation. The doors and their locks were broken. Desperate prayers can do great things. Our God is still alive. May the devil not intimidate us with prisons. We can get in there and begin to pray and break them. Let the enemy, I came to encourage you, friends. Let the enemy not confine you. Sometimes our income becomes so low that you are just surviving. We have to work and take, you know, the devil may confine us to a lifestyle that is not even ours. But we can pray and God will open those chances. May the Lord release new opportunities in your lives. And when the jailer came and found that things were a mess, he was ready to kill himself. And Paul told him, no, please don't kill yourself. We are all here. And now he went, the Bible says, he went and knelt down before Paul and Silas. Now the boss, the hunter, has now become the hunted. And it is, you look at what that story, you just marvel at what the Lord can do. Beloved, he addressed Paul and Silas with respect. In my language, he called them mzee. Let me teach you a little Swahili for today. Say mzee. Mzee is an old man. Not an old man as in retired, no. When in Kenya, when somebody, that's a Swahili word. If somebody calls you mzee, it can be for either a man or a woman, but it is a title of honor, meaning you are an elder in the society. So now it was the police, the jailer, was addressing Paul and Silas with a title of honor that my elders, what must I do so that me and my household we may be saved. May we continue to pray for our families. May we continue to pray for our society. May we continue to pray for our neighborhood. May we take authority, because prayers still works. Amen. That same Jesus restored that girl and saved me, my wife and I, from police cases and being charged with murder. That same Jesus can do it to you. No more jails for us. We function in freedom that has been brought to us by Jesus Christ. And today I understand why Jesus said that he who has the Son is free, and free indeed. Freedom that breaks the foundation of every jail, every confinement that the devil wants to put us in. The devil thought that when he brought the China virus, then the church will not be there again. We are back. And we are here to stay. And we are not going out anytime soon. Those foundations of greedy men and women who try their things on humanity, we break them in Jesus' name. And may the Lord bless us. Thank you so much.
Man of God, thank you. Would you come, would you and your lovely wife come and let us bless you with God's favor afresh. Come right up here, please. Come right up. Well, maybe you'd stay down here. That'd be perfect for me. All right. Come. Face our family here, would you please? Face your family there. And back up just a little bit. Perfect. Would you extend your hand towards them? Father, I thank you for the gifts that you give all of us, Lord. But this morning we have before us a couple of friends, co-laborers in your field of harvest, Lord, who are truly gifts to the people that they serve and to us as well. And throughout the book of Acts that we heard from this morning, there are multiple occasions where those in the circle of faith, Lord, would lay hands on people and ask for a fresh endowment of your supernatural power and grace so that they could continue to see the kingdom, the exploits of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God itself expand. And Lord, that's what we do here this morning. We lay hands on them, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. And we pray for the continuation of the book of Acts in Nindiwa, Kenya, Lord. That the chapters would continue to be written and that you would use these two vessels of yours, Lord, to bring about miracles, to bring about your harvest in that part of the world, Lord. We pray for fresh Holy Spirit. Pour your Spirit out, Lord. Pour your Spirit out. That is our cry this morning, that you would continue to use them in profound ways. Bless them, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you. You're the best. Why don't you stand, and I'll pray a blessing over us as we go from here today. Father, we have had an opportunity this morning to taste and see that you are good. I pray that it would whet our appetite and we would spend time feasting upon you throughout the week. The only words I have to pray, Lord, is pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out. And remind us as we leave here, we're not leaving you. Go with us, we pray. Work with us. Work through us to do your bidding in this week ahead. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. And we'll see you back here next week.